Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome, number 25, Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast. Today, it is both myself, Brian, Mario, as always, and...
Drum roll.
Special guest, the lovely and talented Andrea.
Hi.
Yay.
Hello.
Thanks for prettying up this place. Me looking at him is pretty ugly, you know, usually, but, you know.
Yeah, it's finally a little bit of a ladies' touch on the podcast, which is definitely needed once in a while. Only once in a while, though.
Only once in a while?
Yeah, I mean, we don't need you here all the time.
But we'll let the listeners decide.
We don't need you here all the time, but once in a while.
I would love to hear listeners comment on that.
Yeah, and they can do so at SkiBumPodcast.com. Check us out on Facebook, Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast, Twitter at SkiBumPodcast. And please go to iTunes, download, rate, and subscribe.
See, the best part of iTunes, we're always there looking at you. Like, when you look for us, we're sitting there looking at you. We're right there.
We're like that friendly cousin in the corner in the dark, just watching you sleep. You know? Nothing weird, nothing uncomfortable, just there.
My cousin Jared.
Yeah, like your cousin Jared with his blanket, you know, and you need a sandwich. I can help you out with a sandwich if you're hungry.
Or my cousin Tom. Why are these balls all deflated?
I got my black card. I can get you a free tuna sandwich if you like.
Tuna sub.
So good.
It's like the neighbor from Family Guy.
Yeah. The old guy?
Cleveland. Yeah. Oh, no, the other guy.
Cleveland. That's racist, yeah.
Hey,
Chris. You got any good news?
Hey, Chris. All right. What are we talking about today, Brian? I don't even know.
This is pretty much it. Yeah, you know, our topic is why do we ski? Because this is the last podcast of the summer. And by summer, we mean like pre-Labor Day. Because, I mean, after Labor Day...
This is before labor, before we go into labor.
Pre-labor. Our water is about to break. It's not quite Labor Day.
I think our water's breaking right now.
Yeah, it's something's breaking, that's for sure.
We're going to go into labor.
So yeah, we're the last kind of been talking about the end of summer for the last like 3 or 4 weeks at this point, but this
it's
is
a
really
long slow into summer.
This is really the end of summer.
It's
so
long slow death.
Yeah, so we're gonna talk about a few things, things about before the end of the summer and things we're getting ready for to get ready for the fall and our favorite time of the year, ski season. So Mario, what's the weekly flavor over there?
So we're talking weekly flavor now, and all I gotta say is.
Oh yeah!
I can't do it before I play the music. See that's just me.
You need some drinking music.
So, yeah, drinking music. Good. So we start off with a little Mickey Krause, little Shyster. Like we have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we're gonna one of these days we're gonna do like a little Periscope before we start the podcast. So you can see all the craziness. They get us like all fired up and psyched up to do this.
Oh yeah,
it's a process.
So I'm drinking a Saranac. Generation IV, or 4, if you don't know Roman numerals. And it's a session IPA. It is awesome. It's very hoppy, very light. It's on the lighter side, but very, very hoppy.
It smells like weed a little bit.
Yeah. I was thinking a little bit like the Heady Topper, but...
Oh, stop it. It's like a Heady Bottomer.
It's the Heady Topper that I can get in the store.
It's like rubbish.
See,
yeah.
If I can get Heady Topper, then I'd have something to compare. But right now, that's the Heady Topper.
You can get Budweiser anywhere. Why would you get it?
Because Pitbull has it.
Oh! I want to go to the place where some guy's making it in his bathtub, and he's got a special like little black growler with like 3 X's on it. That's the kind of drink I want.
It's called Jared from Subway.
Jared Juice.
Jared Juice.
It's like Jesus Juice.
Why'd you like a little Jared Juice? Why'd you take a nap, baby? All right, what do you got, Brian?
So I decided to mix it up in a weird way today. I am doing a Monster Energy Ultra Sunrise with Americana Luxurious Vodka.
Yeah!
Luxurious.
That's like Monster Energy, like the Triple Crown. You're like the little jockey with the Triple Crown Monster thing going.
You know what? I like how this can has like texture to it. It has some sort of like, grip. I think you need... extra grip if you're like snowboarding with your Monster Energy, I guess.
Good.
You know?
I think the first time I had that was it was a demo day. And
at
they were giving them out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. The vodka definitely helps cut the funk taste of the Monster because, Monster's not known for being pure tasting at all.
Actually tastes pretty. Some of them, you got to get the right flavor. They actually taste pretty good.
It tastes like chemicals and fake orange flavor.
Well, that's because you got the zero calorie.
Yeah.
Zero calories got all the fake sugar in there. You got to get the
It's got Parallax and Lactate and Taurine and Lemon Pulp. Lactating Mamas and Pantheonate and Guarnerina.
Pantheonate? It's like the Pantheon, man.
Gonorrhea Extract. And I don't know what the hell is in this.
Gonorrhenix. You got Gonorrhenix in there.
Gonorrhemix?
Gonorrhenix.
It's delicious, is really all I'm saying. So,
all right, so while we drink our fruity drinks, Andrea, what are you having?
I went the classy route this time, and I decided to go with the Breckenridge Whiskey Bourbon.
Boom. That's freaking baller.
And it's really good.
Yeah.
That's a really solid bourbon, yeah.
Now I feel like I'm drinking a chick drink now. Why I gotta be like that?
You gotta be you. You gotta go what works for you. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, like just it. Throw a couple ice cubes in it. Mells it out just a little bit.
Good to go.
And it's great.
Actually, I had to talk her into the ice cubes. She was like,
"Yeah, I usually drink it straight or neat."
She's a hardcore gal. Let me tell you.
Yeah,
it's good. And we were actually discussing what would make it better. Maybe a little bit of candied bacon, like maple candied bacon, and throw that in there. Bacon. Like a little strip in there.
Music to my ears.
Right.
You say bacon, anything, it's great.
But why doesn't anybody really put like bacon bits in a drink? Just kind of sprinkle them in there like pulp. Like bacony pulp.
Brandy Alexander with bacon bits.
You guys could Brandy be the first. Brandy Alexander.
Yeah.
It's like a, isn't it like an ice creamy drink?
Yeah. Ice cream and bacon and brandy.
I was just thinking bourbon with like bacon pulp.
I'm just trying to figure out how we can make the bacon like float like in the, that's why I was thinking the Brandy Alexander.
I want it to be like pulpy orange juice, but the pulp being bacon in the bourbon.
How about bourbon jello bacon?
Bourbon jello bacon.
Mm. That sounds bad.
I don't even know where to start there. There's so much wrong with that.
And you wash it down with a Bailey's Mule.
The cement mixer. Bacon ice cubes. Like bacon bitty bourbon ice cubes to put into your bourbon.
Yes, and then you bite the ice and then boom, you get the bacon.
Oh, a little bit of bacon. I like that.
But you don't want to dilute the flavor of the bacon.
Or the bourbon.
You can't.
The key is you need a deep freezer where you can actually freeze alcohol. So that's like minus like what 300 degrees or something.
We're in North Jersey. We have deep freezers everywhere. I mean, we freeze a lot of like meats,
bodies.
Just things that
forget about it.
That a shovel and a bag of lye. Everybody has one.
You could do like a maple syrup with bacon bits, and then you could maybe freeze that. I don't know if that's too sweet
though. It's gonna get too sweet then. Yeah,
that's too sweet.
I like the highfalutin Bloody Mary. The bourbon Bloody Mary with no tomato juice, just bourbon and a bunch of bacon sticking out of it. That's what I'm talking about.
A bacony bourbony Mary.
We're going to make that. That's highfalutin bacon bourbon Mary.
That could be the signature drink.
Yes.
We're going to label that. That's going to be all us.
Look what we started here.
So, yeah. It's going off the rails really, really quickly. See, we bring Andrea in and things just go off the rails.
It starts more like a party then. Like, we're just hanging out, chilling. Well, I think it was, too, we got a little giddy. We're watching little snow movies. Like,
we watched Apocalypse Snow again. We watched it last week. I watched it again this morning. Like, I've watched it so many times. That theme song, that soundtrack, that 80s synth is so awesome. I love it.
But then we watched one and two, and then we started watching three. And I think that was just it.
Yeah. It definitely needed Hulk Hogan, the third one.
We got to do a whole breakdown of Apocalypse Now, the series, and break out. Because there's some stuff in Apocalypse Now 2 with the rafts that I love.
Like, Apocalypse Now 2 pretty much started the X Games.
It's,
like, a lot of the weird like events they were having in there could have just as well been in the X Games.
Ski football.
Ski football, that ski didn't rafting.
Work, but it looked pretty cool.
Fencing on a wall with ski poles.
And if you fall off, you're like bungee jumping.
Bungee, yeah.
Pretty good.
Extreme fencing.
Extreme.
Yeah, but you don't see mono skis anymore.
Not yet.
This year, mono skis, very hot.
Mm.
What did we see in the first one? Aside from mono skis, what was the one thing that we all picked out?
Snowboard?
Snowboard was nice. Snowblade.
Oh, Snowblade, that's
Gem
right.
In the holograms. Snowblade. Firing a machine gun.
Yes.
Yeah,
if you haven't seen Apocalypse Snow, go on YouTube. It's a French avant-garde ski film. It's just called Apocalypse Snow Le Film. So check it out. It is fantastic. So the first time you watch it, you may be like, this is kind of dumb. after like the fifth, sixth, or seventh time, you'll really start to appreciate the
movie. Actually, not even that. About one third of the way in, you start getting into it because you're like, this is pretty cool. Like, because this is really old, but like, look at what the guy's doing on that crazy snowboard that's like a surfboard. I tell you, it was pretty cool looking.
And the one part where the guys are mono skiing down at like full speed, like not even turning or anything. And the one dude, like, you see his legs kind of like shaking and chattering. Like, you're like, is it over? Is he going to die? But,
the crashing and stuff is
awesome. The crashing is hysterical. The guy in the big ball.
Yeah. And they got some cheesy, like, monster movie kind of stuff. Like, you know, it was great. But it, actually, if you YouTube or if you look on Wikipedia about it, it explains why they made the movie and stuff. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, it actually opened up a lot for ski films in general.
Yeah. I mean, some of the stunts they were doing are things that, you know, were probably revolutionary at that time.
Yeah. And even the idea was, like, it was done to promote something. Like, it was kind of, it was great. Like, that whole thing put things together. It was nice.
Really cool. All right. So we're going to get into some ski news. And there's been, a, you know, a lot of stuff has been posted the last week or so. People talking about gear and reviews and best of. We're going to hold off on that kind of stuff. You know, we're going to wait, you know, we'll probably wait the next week or two to start doing that. But got a little bit of ski news. So it is snowing at the top of Whistler right now. So September, this is from September 2nd. So this is yesterday. It's about 30 degrees right now at Whistler's Peak, 71,050 feet. And it's looking pretty socked in. So the webcams up at Whistler are showing there's a decent cover up there already now, which is pretty incredible for this early in the season. So it's just, you see that and you get that feeling, that giddy excitement that, you know,
summer trip to Whistler is this year.
Over. It's not a bad idea.
I've never been. Oh. I'm a Whistler virgin.
Mm-hmm. Whistler is pretty glorious. The key is you have to get there when there's actually snow.
I think I'm just going to book an open ticket and just go when it snows.
Not a bad idea.
Or just hang out in Vancouver for like 2 months.
Nothing wrong with that either. It's a pretty cool city. So it's starting to snow, so get excited. Get fired up.
Yeah. All right. So there's a ski club that's celebrating more than 50 years of skiing. So Triple Cities Club, which is in...
Binghamton, New York.
Binghamton, New York.
Of all places. Shout out to Binghamton.
Shout out. Yo, yo. So they are celebrating their 50th anniversary with a kickoff meeting next Thursday, September 10th, at Brothers 2 Banquet Facility. Brothers 2, whoop whoop. I've never been there, but it sounds like a whole hoedown that's going on. 50 years is pretty impressive, I tell you. Half a century for a ski club, that's great.
It's really cool, yeah. They do, you know, they do year-round activities too, which is nice. So, you know, skiing and snowboarding, obviously, then hiking, biking, kayaking, then a paddleboarding, rafting, and camping in the summertime.
And this story kind of reiterates like what we've been talking about. Like right now, everybody is having, all the ski clubs are starting to have like, you know, meetups and kind of mixers, like just get to know people, and then they're going to start like the hardcore meetings of like people are signing up for trips and things like that. There's been stuff in New York City. I went. There was one New York City ski and board club that was a few weeks ago. Hoboken started theirs. All around the country they're starting, so it's really a good time. School's starting now. I used to go to Buffalo. Schissmeisters is a huge club in Buffalo. So like all along like the East Coast, I'm sure out west, everywhere that there is, there's tons of clubs that are getting together now. And if you haven't yet, or if you're thinking about it, or you're on the fence, go out and look for a club.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. I know, you know, when we, you know, first started doing our thing, we'd go, you know, local ski resorts, maybe try to do a trip once every couple years. Because, you know, it is a lot of hassle. It's a lot of research. It's a lot of work, you know, going on a trip, you know, across the country or Europe. But when you join these ski clubs, I mean, they have people who, you know, these trip leaders who set these up. They work with travel agencies who have experience doing this. I mean, you just pay and you show up and they tell you where to go.
Yeah.
And you can meet a lot of great people. A lot of great experiences. Go places you never would have thought you would have gone. I mean, we went to three of us went to Ischgl, Austria this year.
Went to Switzerland.
Like, we've been to through the ski club. We've been to a lot of great places, met a lot of great people. So, yeah, get out there. Now, we've been on trips. I mean, we've seen people from, like, ski clubs in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, from
the Carolinas. There was one in Florida when we were in Tahoe. They had, like, 500 people that went on that trip. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, anywhere you are in the country, you will find, you know, ski clubs, and a lot of them go on some really awesome trips. So you can meet some great people. You can go to a bunch of different places. So check it out. And, you know, it shouldn't be hard to find. Everyone's online. Everyone's, posting now. now, especially with these big pushes for membership and with their trips coming out.
A lot of times they do the membership now, and then it's like you got to start committing to like trips soon. So if you don't want to be left out, definitely you got to look now. And if you're on the fence and you don't know any people, you know what? Take that plunge and go out and just go by yourself if that's what it is. As long as it gets you back skiing or boarding or snowblading, you know, or monoskiing, whatever you got to do.
Monoskiing.
I tell you, if it gets you out there, it's a great thing because you'll meet people that like doing the same thing that you like, you know, being out in the snow and enjoying it.
Yeah. All right, next up. So we talked about El Nino a few weeks ago. And
El Nino.
There's been a lot of different weather forecasts coming out, and this one is on opensnow.com, and they're talking about how will El Nino impact snowfall for this upcoming season. And one of the maps that I saw and immediately gravitated to and wanted to hold up as gospel was showing the Northeast, where we are and where we ski the majority of our season, having a cold and snow-filled winter. And I think that was the national. What is NOAA again? National. NOAA. What does it stand for, though?
National Oceanic. Something.
Atmospheric, maybe.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, they were showing their
NOAAH, right?
They were showing their precipitation during December, January, and February.
National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So they're predicting, you know, what El Nino winter is going to look like, and you know they have a bunch of different maps showing the next, you know, 4 to 6 month forecast. So certain areas like the Northwest looks like another mild winter.
They got screwed last year. I mean,
not looking so good. It's really kind of hard to describe because there's a lot of different probabilities here, and you know, this again is not gospel, it's not set in stone, but you know, again, the map that I saw and all I'm really thinking about is the one that showed the Northeast having a cold, miserable to the non-skiers, snowy winter.
What I love now is, like, you go anywhere or you're hanging out in your ski house or ski club, whatever, everybody keeps track of the winter. They're like, all right, I got to see where it's snowing. Cause
everyone's a meteorologist now. Reading the charts and looking at the precipitation maps. And hey, low pressure is coming in from the south and high pressure is coming in. And
you get a group of 10 people, there's one person that's going to break down the map with, you know, for you, like they're on the Weather Channel. It's great. But yeah, I tell you, people watch, there's so much information out there, and it's really important. Like, you know, Brian, you found sites where you could have, like, Weather Channel is giving you the forecast for your city, but then there's another site that gives you the forecast for the mountain that's, like, upper, middle, and lower mountain, which is, like, even, like, more specific to that area. So definitely good to check out sites, and I tell you what, it's pretty funny. Like, you start talking to people, and people just start talking about the weather, you know.
Yeah, I know. Even like back in April, I went up to Vermont, and when I was, you know, looking at the weather, it was, you know, going up to Killington, but I was looking at the weather in Rutland.
Oh, Rutland.
Yeah. And you know, it's the closest town to it. It's pretty much right next to it. But as I got there, it was raining in Rutland. But as you go up the mountain, up the access road, it was snowing at Killington.
Gotta keep that hope alive.
So you think, oh man, it's raining. This sucks. But as you get closer, and you're actually on the mountain, it's just a little bit cooler, and it was snow. So
it was, you know, that little bit of hope that you had, and then you got there, and the little bit of hope made everything colder.
That's right, like Mr. Freeze.
Exactly.
My name is Freeze. Learn it well.
Jack Frost. So what do you think? It was cold last year, right? It was going to be cold again this year?
Yeah, it was really cold. You know, I think my perfect temperature is like 23 degrees. Yeah, it's got to be underneath.
That's a good temperature.
I mean, I like when I don't have to wear you know, like a face mask. I just, under my helmet, I just prefer nothing.
I can take sub-zero if there's no wind. It's the wind that kills me.
Wind is the worst, yeah.
Yeah. Like, if there's no wind, it's beautiful, crisp day. Everything's clear.
That's true.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, there was that one time we were up at Mount Snow, and it had to be, I don't even know what it was with the wind chill, like minus 10 or minus 20. And you could actually, if you were standing in the lift line, you would get blown. It was that cold.
That's when they were running the lift really slow.
Well, they there's two lifts that go to the top. One was closed, and one was at half speed.
Mm.
So you're just like, this is the worst. Like, this sucks.
That was probably one of the coldest days I've ever been. That day.
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing is being in line for that long. You're in line for 45 minutes, 50 minutes, just waiting.
But Andrew, you got the mittens. That works better.
Yeah, I just prefer mittens to gloves.
You have the mitten with the fold-out with the thing?
No, so my current ones don't have the fold-out, but I would like to get a pair that does.
I like the ones with the fold-out where they have, like, the glove underneath.
Yeah.
And then you can, like, do stuff with, like, the glove, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You make your gang signs with the glove and then put your mitten back on.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
So, yeah, we're going to keep following the weather very closely and, see what things are going to look like in different areas. But stay tuned.
All right. I think Brian's going to get this next one.
So, yeah, so the trailers. I know we did a trailer episode a couple weeks ago, and now they are starting to pour out even more. And this latest one is from Freeskier Magazine. Well, they posted it. And it's Cody Towson's MSP's Days of My Youth. Actually, that was the old one, Days of My Youth. Conquering the Useless is the new trailer. And it's, again, these ski movies are always so awesome, but this one is particularly cool. So you have to go and check it out. It's we'll post it on the show notes, but it's looking good. Conquering the Useless.
You know, it's funny. You watch the ski trailers, you're like, I want to watch them all.
I know, right?
Like, they look all pretty amazing, so.
I want to watch the actual movie. I'm sick of these trailers. Yeah. Show me the movie itself at this point, right?
Wait, we got about another month and a half till they start breaking, right?
Yeah.
So.
The whole plan at the beginning of the season.
They're showing them on snowmobiles, and I mean, you look at this terrain. It doesn't even look real. It's just this, like, cloud, puffy, cotton ball city.
Cotton ball city, I like that.
Ah. No lifts. I mean, they're doing it on snowmobiles in this part, which is so cool.
Man.
So, that's nice. ConqueringTheUseless.com. Check it out. Tell us what we think.
So we came across an article that was talking about Revenge of the Affordable Dream Towns.
Mm-hmm.
Talks about, like, a guy that moved to Breckenridge in 96, and he was a ski bum. So lived there, lived in a cabin, and then talking about, like, how the place has changed, workforce has changed. Like, everything starts kind of, like, migrating, because honestly right now there's a lot of money going into big ski towns, and that's where actually they're putting more jobs, they're putting like more infrastructure in. And I tell you what, if you're thinking now, like with the rise of the oceans, I would probably pick to live in a ski town than a shore town. But it's just amazing. Like, so it's pretty interesting, the article, what it talked about the about the housing and about the workforce, and it's just amazing how these ski towns are just growing.
Yes, it's one of those things that, a lot of these ski towns, you go there and you see these people who I guess have massive fortunes one way or another, and they just, they have these houses there, this real estate that they own, and you wonder, are they actually skiing there? Are they, what are they doing? Because the ski bums, obviously, they're living in the little tiny condos, living in the shacks, nothing really fancy, nothing exciting. Who's living in these places? That's why these dream towns are so, we go there, we visit them, and we wonder, who's living here? Who's the person who's there all the time? It's like Telluride, it's a perfect example. Whenever I go to these great ski towns, I always tend to look at the real estate, see, what do things cost in this town? Telluride was untouchable. I mean, yeah. A condo was like $700,000-$800,000.
It's crazy. You think about years ago, like people used to just say, when I was in college, I had buddies that were like, dude, let's be a ski bum. We're going to go to Colorado. I have a good friend that I haven't been in touch with that has a restaurant now in Steamboat, which is freaking awesome. Like, he lived the dream and made it, like, this is what he does now. And I tell you, it's amazing when you talk to people and you see like stories of people that did it or are doing it now. And it's just changed the way it's done now. Because there are some people that will, you get jobs now and you move to a ski town and you kind of, because it's a good market, you can get a good job there. So it's like a different mentality, but it's still pretty cool to do.
And even that one article we talked about a few weeks ago where it said that a lot of people are making their money first, then moving to a ski town. So even like, if you do things that are, you can work remote or you have your own business, you do design, web work, a lot of that stuff you can do anywhere.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you live in a ski town if you could?
And we even went over one of the other things we saw was a company that was putting office space, like rental office space, in ski towns specifically.
Yeah, there was one that Telluride started like an incubator. So yeah. They're trying to get some startups in there.
It all comes together. You know what I mean? Like, you get talented people, go to a ski town, you get office space, you got an economy. Yeah, it's definitely changed.
And plus, too, you know, when you go to a ski town, you know, a lot of times with these collaborative workspaces, you take a lot of energy and ideas from people who you encounter there. And when you're in a ski town, the vibe, the energy, the people you meet there are going to be so different than if you're in a New York City or a Silicon Valley, you know, or in Austin, Texas. It's a very, you know, creative, nature-focused, enthusiastic sports kind of vibe to it. So I think it's a brilliant idea what they're doing in Telluride. And if you guys ever want to sponsor us and get us in that incubator, we would be happy to possibly entertain options. SkiBumPodcast.com, reach out. And just so you guys know, by the way, SkiBumPodcast.com, right now, it looks cool. Doesn't look amazing. Still working on the site. I was showing Mario and Andrea a little bit before some of the work I've been doing and getting super excited about how it's going to look. Probably next week or two, maybe 3 weeks. Definitely before Columbus Day, this will be out. And
he's lying. I didn't see shit. I think it's. I think he's been playing Xbox.
I saw nothing. Time. Nothing.
Nothing. You've been playing Xbox, waiting for Halo to come out. I know.
All day, every day. So yeah, I mean, a lot of cool stuff. So yeah, we're trying to get into this, live that ski bum dream, get into those ski towns, get into Telluride, get into Park City, Tahoe, Whistler.
Just remember, if you don't do it today, you'll do it tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow.
You're wasting time. There is only today. You'll be doing it tomorrow.
Yep.
So.
And I think we have one more ski story, don't we?
Oh, yes. We have two more, right?
Do we have two more?
We have the weather predictions. You want to do that one?
That's all done. Are you even listening? Are you even on this podcast?
I have no idea who's here.
All right. So the last one. Obama to rename Mount McKinley Denali in honor of Native Americans. I thought he was naming it after the GMC vehicle. I love SUVs so much, I'm naming this mountain after one.
Well, so there's already Denali, you think.
Yeah, right.
There's already Denali National Park, right? So that's already been there.
Yeah, so Obama announced on Sunday that the 20,320-foot Mount McKinley in Alaska, North America's highest peak, will be renamed Denali.
So I want to know, it's a pretty big accomplishment to say that you climb Mount McKinley.
Mm-hmm.
So if you rename it to Denali, does that wipe that away and you got to climb it again as Denali?
Absolutely.
I think so.
It's a whole new thing.
I mean, like, it's like you didn't really climb a mountain because I don't know any Mount McKinley.
It's a ghost mountain, yeah. Yeah, apparently, apparently some folks in Ohio where President McKinley was from are getting a little bit upset about the name change. But that's what shows, you know, that's what shows the power that Obama has as the president of the U.S., that he can just, you know, grab some paper, scribble down some notes, sign it, and all of a sudden is law.
Anybody of power, even Tony Soprano, no matter what move you make, somebody else is going to be against it.
That's true. And Obama, if he really wanted to, could legalize marijuana in the country too, if he was
that would be
wanted
great.
To man up and stop being such a...
You're going
to
piss somebody off. You might as well not piss the people off that are going to be mellow and still vote for you.
That's true.
It's the same. So even though he can't run again for president, he could run for some. I don't know.
He could do it if he wanted to. He has the option.
Just saying.
We'll see what he does. It's kind of the year and a half, right? 2 years? What year is it?
Next year, right?
Oh, boy. He's got a year. Year and change. Lame duck president.
It's going to be a rough, news-infused political year.
No, it will be.
Which means I'm just going to ski and put my head down and ski. That's what I do.
That's the way to do it. Just move into the mountains.
Hope and pray for the best. Move into the mountains.
That's true. All right. That's all we got on the ski news this week. So our topic this week, it's pretty open-ended. Why do we ski and board? You know, what got us into this? How did we get here? Why are we here? And how did we get to this strange place? So I guess I'll kick it off. So when I was younger, I really didn't ski very much. I always played hockey. I skied maybe 3 or 4 times till I was 20. And one time I went to, we did a school bus trip. And it was one of those after school, you know, drive out to the Poconos kind of trips. And we went to Shawnee Mountain. And again, I'd skied once before, so it was my second time skiing. Night skiing, Shawnee, I think I was in 7th grade. You know, you go, you get your crappy rental boots, you get your crappy rental skis. You don't get a lesson because that's what pussies do. So you just go to the top of the mountain and just go straight down. And it was like probably like mid or late March. So, you know, Poconos, late March, epic snow, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Champagne powder, really. So we would just go straight down, and at the bottom, there was this giant...
rock?
No, it was like a lake of slush.
Ah,
and that's slush. How we would slow down. We would hit that lake of slush, try to maintain our balance, and then slow down before barreling into the fence.
You're in
the
training.
Fence.
You're in training right there.
Work the core, you know. Solid balance. But, yeah, it was awful. It was stupid. And I did it. I went one more time probably when I was in college. Blue Mountain in the Poconos. And I started to really like it. I'm like, this is really cool. But then, you know, in your 20s, you don't have a lot of money. I had a buddy when I got out of college who was a big snowboarder. And he would invite me like every single week. Like, dude, we're going up to the creek. We're going to Blue Mountain. You should come. I'm like, no, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to save my money and be a lame ass. And that was Sean.
Oh, Sean.
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 Yeah. South African Sean. Shout out to South African Sean.
Oh, I met Sean.
He's a good dude. Yeah, really good dude.
So volleyballer, right?
Yeah, volleyballer. So he would invite me all the time, and I always said no. So I was like that guy, you know, like never would go. So probably should have, but didn't. And then lo and behold, Mario, a couple years ago, had a timeshare opportunity.
Boom.
And
timeshare opportunity.
And we went out there. Andrew and I went out there with him, and Indo Lake Tahoe. And first time out there, again, hadn't skied in 10 years. Got our rental boots, got our rental skis, went to the top of the mountain, got out of the gondola, just did the little tiny run that connects you to the green slope. And they all went in front of me. I fell down. I went into like sheer panic mode. I started sweating. And of course, I had a walkie-talkie with me. This was like... I had a walkie-talkie with me, but I was like too panicky and frenzied and like upset and concerned. I couldn't even figure out how to work the walkie-talkie. Because the worst thing was is you go down this little run and they'd gone to the right. Like they'd turned so they couldn't see where I was.
I stopped. I saw you.
You saw me. And so what happened was I fell and I came out of my ski. And back then I didn't really quite understand how the binding worked. So I'm like stepping on it and just trying to get into the ski and trying probably 200 times to get into the stupid ski. And it was kind of in that middle, like that neutral spot where it's not in and it's not out, but you can't click in. So I'm just trying and frenzying and panicking and like, I broke the ski. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Just sheer panic. And I don't remember if I did something else, like I messed with the binding and I clipped it and then got in and found you guys, or you guys come back up?
Well, I stuck around. I actually, I forget what I did.
But we were too far away.
Well, so Brian couldn't see you, but I could see you because I was like halfway down the mountain because I turned around and I saw he was still at the top. So I was like hand motioning to you, I think. I forget exactly what
we were hanging out, I think, and I was trying to use the walkie-talkie, and I'm like, he can't use the goddamn walkie-talkie.
Because for some reason, we didn't bring our phones. I forget why. This was like pre-iPhones.
This was like flip phone era.
Yeah, we still had flip phones, but for some reason, we thought not to bring them. Maybe it was the service. Maybe we were afraid to break them. We were afraid to get them, you know, the condensation to break them. There was some reason we didn't bring our phones.
Yeah. But guess how much time went by? Half an hour.
It was so bad.
It felt like 30 hours.
My brand new ski jacket, my brand new ski pants, my brand new fancy goggles, and I couldn't even go like 20 feet without falling.
Yeah.
And it was so embarrassing, and I just felt like an asshole and just stupid. And eventually we got together and we had a glorious week out at Heavenly. We had amazing weather. We had beautiful snow, and just, you know, that's when I really just fell in love with the sport. Was, you know, not even just the town, you know, the activity of skiing itself, the town, the vibe, the people, the après ski, just like there's just a whole culture to it, and that culture is just, it's so much fun and it's so cool, and you can meet so many great people and do so many great things. And ever since then, it's just been nonstop. It's been a passion, and just been running with it and trying to do it more and more and get better and better and as much as possible.
Well, I'll never forget, after you came, after you clicked in and you came down, we were sitting in the Adirondack chairs, like waiting for you right there at the top of that lift. And we're just chilling out. And we were almost falling asleep because it was really beautiful. Like, it was sunny.
High altitude, too.
And it was great. We're just like chilling out. We're like, all right, after a while, it was just like almost falling asleep, and then you come up, oh man, we gotta go skiing now.
And, like, I know me, you know, if that was me now and I was skiing with someone who was that person, I'd be like, what is this fucking asshole doing? Like, where are they? This is bullshit, you know? Like, but you really have to kind of take a step back sometimes and realize that you were that person at one point, and I was that person not that long ago.
So you
got to be a little bit patient and, you know, get people involved, because, you know, they say that, you know, a lot of these ski resorts are losing money. They're not as popular as they used to be. But, you know, if you get people into this and kind of show them the right way and get them lessons and get them involved in, you know, again, après ski and the whole vibe of the ski towns. And I mean, I don't know how you could not fall in love with it. And again, it is expensive.
There's a lot to fall in love with.
There really is. Yeah. I mean, it's just the whole culture, the lifestyle, everything about it is just, it's fantastic.
I tell people, even if you don't ski, if you go up like to a ski town, like with people that are skiing and just hang out in the town while they ski, if you don't want to ski, you have a great time, because you realize, like, you would never be in these places if it weren't for skiing. Like, I would never be in places in Europe like that we skied if it wasn't for skiing, because they're not non-ski. Like, you only go there for skiing or, like, serious hiking or rock climbing, which
you're not going to, like, fly into one of those towns and have a layover or stop over there. Yeah,
I mean, you're trekking up there just to go skiing. You see these beautiful, like, pristine towns that have been there for 100 years. It's great, you know. And then you realize, like, this is living.
And those towns too are crazy, because they wouldn't be there without that mountain either,
right?
You know, like, you're in the middle of, I mean, you know, again, we talk about Vermont a lot because that's where we go the most often, but you go in the middle of these towns, I mean, there's nothing surrounding them, you know, like when you go to Killington or like a Mount Snow,
yeah,
there's nothing around those towns except for the ski mountain and the, you know, the kind of vibe, the culture that the mountain has created, which makes it really cool. So it's very, you know, it's very natural with the mountain, but it's also kind of man-made with all the structures and the infrastructure and the towns that are built around them.
Yeah, very nice.
So how about you, Mario? How'd you get into, what got you into skiing?
So I went up to college. I didn't know anybody in college, met some friends, and I decided, you know what? All I did was really...
You went to Grambling, right?
Grambling. Went up to Buffalo, and... I played baseball. I was hopefully going to play college. I played college summer ball for a few years, and I was pretty good at baseball. Kind of pissed that whole talent away, just being angry and wanting to go away. And I went away, didn't know anybody, and I'm up in Buffalo. So what do you do in the winter in Buffalo? Well, you're going to sit inside and drink, or you're going to do something else. And I was like, I got to do something. I got to get out. So a lot of my friends were into skiing. So I was like, you know what? I've never skied my entire life. So... here I am, 18, never skied my entire life, and these guys are like, look, just join the ski club, and you can rent skis for the season and all this other stuff. So I was looking at it. They're like, look, it's such a great deal, blah, blah, blah. So I went, joined the ski club for $80 for the whole season.
And that's big money back in the day.
Big money back in the day, but I look college, now, yeah. I'm like, back it was $80 for a lift ticket for, I think it was 6 days of lift tickets, 5 days of bus to the lift ticket.
For the whole season?
For the whole season.
Like, quite a deal.
That is incredible. And I rented skis for, like, I think it was with the ski club discount, $80 for the season. So for $160 bucks, I got skis. And so I skied, like, my first two seasons for, I think I skied 35 times each season, plus or minus. And I'll never forget, like, so I went with a bunch of guys at ski. And, you know, I'm kind of one of these guys. I was pretty athletic. I skated, I played baseball, did a whole bunch of football, a whole bunch of crap. And so I get on a pair of skis. They're like, all right, you know, spent like 15 minutes with me. They're like, okay, we'll see you later, and we'll meet you at the top of this lift when you're ready. So, you know, I hung around the little bunny slope for a little while. I'm like, you know, screw this, let me go up. So I went up, and I'm like, terrified, just absolutely terrified. It was the scariest thing ever. I was by myself going down. And I would go down and just crash either by myself or into people or into things. So I had the nickname, actually, of Cannonball. That's what they nicknamed me, because I would just go down as fast as I could and crash into shit. I didn't know how to stop. So I just did that for like half of the first season. And then after a while, I learned, you know, if I turn or I stop, things are going to be a lot better for me. So I started doing that. I was like, hey, this is great. Like, I could actually turn and do stuff. So by the end of my first season, I was probably a pretty good intermediate skier. And then the next season, I kind of leveled up to like the next level. Mm-hmm. And there were nights where, and it was like, I probably went about 3 or 4 days during the week, all night skiing. So we're in Buffalo, up in the mountains, like near, like, you know, 45 minutes, Kissing Bridge, Holiday Valley. Holiday Valley is pretty, pretty serious moguls, like pretty big place. But they would have moguls made of ice at that time at night, but like 6 foot moguls that were just ice. And I'll never forget a bunch of times I lose my way on a mountain. I don't pay attention. So I do it today. Lose my way on a mountain. And then I end up and I look around and there's just a field of moguls. And I'm like, holy shit, I can't get down. So I remember days where I threw a fit and then I got down. Like, I never walked down because I was like, you know, it's going to be quicker to kind of ski down. But I remember just losing my shit. It was horrible. But that kind of, those two seasons alone got me from like a beginner, never skied to like probably a good intermediate advanced skier. And then since then, I always had like a love for it and I would always just go. And what I learned, like, especially being at night, things are like quieter and calmer. I really learned to have like an affinity for the peacefulness of being on the mountain. And there's nothing like going midweek by yourself and going skiing and just being with nature and God and everything. It's freaking awesome. Like, to me, it's like a Zen experience. Like, you really become one by yourself. And it's just like, it's like if you were to go hiking by yourself, like, you're there with nature, except hiking, you know, you have bears and a bunch of shit that can kill you. Skiing, it's, you're only going to kill yourself. So it's kind of like, you know, I really love that about skiing. Like, that's one of the things. It's peaceful. It's beautiful. You're out in nature. Ah, it's great.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too. It's so cool is that you know that mountain has been there for millions of years before.
Yeah.
And it's going to be there millions of years after.
Yep.
So you're just going to enjoy it while you're here.
And there's no, like, you can blow snow, you can do it, but there's no manipulating the fact that you're there in this place that you can't put a price tag on. It's beautiful.
You can't build a mountain like that.
Can't build a mountain.
You know, it just is or it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Beautiful.
Yeah. Mm. And then there's the drink and the party. And that goes with
après.
Yeah, après.
The scene, the feeling, the vibe, the people, yeah.
You can't have après ski if you don't ski, right? Technically. Yeah.
This is very true.
So, Andrew, what got you into it?
So, I guess a bunch of reasons. I think, first of all, my dad, I'm very much my father's daughter in that I love speed. I love excitement.
That's why you married me.
Yes, of course.
Speed and excitement. All right.
So you're excited
speed
and
right
fast?
Through.
Eat fresh. Eat fresh.
Oh. Wow.
Whoa.
Anyway.
Where did this thing go?
Get it back on the rails. Hurry.
Yeah.
Quick.
So I started pretty young. I mean, my dad was taking me and my middle sister before my youngest sister was born, but we were going up to Butternut, I think, a couple times. And I, you know, when you were little, I was probably like 7,
wow.
Which is not that little, you know, but you kind of, you really don't have any fear. Yeah. You don't have much fear. Your center of gravity is really a lot lower and going down the hill, you know, you fall, but I had an instructor and,
well, kids are so resilient. Like they fall and it doesn't hurt. I fall now. Like,
yeah.
I like go down on the floor to like pick something up and I'm like getting up going, what the fuck, man? Why's it gotta hurt so much?
I know. But that was, you know, that was back in like the late 80s, I think I was skiing and it was great. You know, I always loved it. But we didn't really go that often.
Yeah.
It's hard. You know, it's hard to pack up the family and go up.
But you went
and
as a family. That's pretty
we went
cool.
out as a family. And that's the nice thing about skiing too, is it's very much a family sport. You can do it at your own pace. So my dad would just kind of leave me with the instructor and then he'd go off. And then, you know, we would all meet up and go home. And it was just, blah, 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 you know, the whole time in the car on the way home. And I loved it. And then, it had been maybe like a couple years went by. And then we found out we were moving to Norway.
Nice.
So what do you do in Norway for the longest season of all four?
Mm.
Wintertime in Norway. What else are you gonna do? Right? So we would go up to skiing in Norway, and I really kind of that was when I really learned technique, you know, as more of an adult skier. There, you know, you just go every other weekend. It's just so easy. There's awesome mountains up there. So my middle sister and I would go with my dad. At that point, we could pretty much keep up, maybe 12, 13. My mom would go, and she'd cross-country ski with my youngest sister, who was, like, 4 at the time.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so we would all go.
And you ski up at Lillehammer, right?
I did. I skied up in Lillehammer. That wasn't until later in my tenure in Norway, but...
And how far was that from where you guys were living?
Well, we lived in Oslo. In Lillehammer, I want to say it's, like, an hour and a half drive or so.
That's so awesome.
That's awesome, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And, we skied on Kvitfjell and Hafjell, which are the Olympic mountains, and that was just so cool. I have to dig up some pictures, but
that's awesome.
Yeah, I think I have a bunch. I know I have to go back too.
I think the bums need to make a trip over there.
You get a bum.
The bums go to Norway.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. So yeah, and that was
my cousin Giovanni Hendrickson lives there.
Lillehammer. That's right. So, and then I would start to go with my friends. So at that age, you know, who lives there skis, basically. So
yeah,
all my little friends and I would go up skiing, and it turned into a social thing at that point.
Great.
So not only did we downhill ski.
Culture there too, right? Like that's kind of very social, very just hanging out.
I think Norwegians, I think they get started like 2-3 years old. They're like, you know, toddlers, and they're skiing. It's amazing.
And they cross country a lot.
And they cross country. Well, that's like their main thing out there is cross country skiing. They're actually more known for that than downhill, I think.
No bus. You got to cross country to school.
It's so ingrained in their culture, you know. I mean, that's what makes it, you know, why they, you know, get them started so young is because it's just something that they do.
They don't sit around, wait for a damn bus to pick them up. They go walk.
Yeah, cross country skiing. Transportation. Absolutely.
Like we have buffets. In American culture, Norwegians have skiing, cross-country skiing,
exactly.
And lutefisk. Yeah.
Right. So that's really kind of what had me hooked on it. And
that's cool.
And cross-country skiing, too. I mean, you wouldn't think, but it's just such an amazing workout. And once a year with my school, we would go to kind of a retreat, like a cross-country retreat for a week. And that was always so much fun. And we'd go kind of like for day trips. And
do they make s'mores in Norway?
They have, oh gosh, I can't, I think it's called pinnebrød, which is like you put this dough on a stick and you hold it over a fire.
Like pizza dough?
And it's like a sweet dough.
Mm.
And you, when it's done cooking, so to speak, you put jam on it, and that's what you eat instead of s'more. So it's like the Norwegian version of
s'mores.
European
kind of jam too. Yeah. They like make jam.
Yeah, like we would do.
We
that.
Like buy jam here. They make like
crazy lingonberry jam.
Oh,
from lingonberry.
The sauerkirsch that I had in Germany.
Mm.
Oh,
yeah. Awesome.
No Smuckers. No high fructose corn syrup.
That's right.
Corn subsidies. America.
That was like, we grew extra cherries, so we made jam with it. I was like, that's great.
Oh, so good.
Jam for the ladies.
They take pride in the jam.
That's true. They should. It's delicious.
Yeah. And I think I pronounced that right. I'll have to look up the pronunciation.
What was it again?
Pinnebrød.
Pinnebrød.
Yeah.
Pinnebrød. So what other, like, because I remember going, like, one of the fun things about going was, like, not only just being, like, with peace and but screwing around with friends. I had a lot of great times with friends. Like, I'll never forget, we would see a jump, and this was back when nobody can jump. It was like, oh, you can't jump, you have to go downhill ski and blah blah blah. Now they have freaking terrain parks where you just like bomb and like jumps. Nobody cares.
Yeah, right.
Before it was like, oh, you can't jump. Okay, we're looking, like, we had a scout looking out for like the ski patrol, and you know, we're hitting a jump and we're trying to do like a helicopter because we saw it on like some thing, and we're just wrecking ourselves, you know, like over and over and over. And you know, you keep getting up, you keep doing it, and I'll never forget that. Like, there were times where we just spent like 2 hours trying to do a helicopter and just killing ourselves. It was great.
That's awesome. And you know what? It's nice too when you're younger to do that, because then you heal a lot quicker. You know?
Yeah. Now I get some big air, but I'm still chicken shit to flip around. I'm gonna have to try it this year.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to just do it.
Well. You kind of have things like, oh gosh, how much is this gonna pay? How much is this gonna cost me?
I figure I have insurance now, so I'm better off doing it now while I have insurance.
That's true.
And yeah. I'm at a young enough age that if I had to have a hip replacement or something, like I'm good to go.
Bionic
hip. Bionics, man.
Yeah.
Bionicchio.
And it's always key to do that in like March when you have like almost your whole season, like you've had a great season. You're like, end of the year, I got all summer to recuperate. Let's go big.
I want
to
do it January. Boom. Right around my birthday. Boom.
That's a terrible idea.
Hit the big jump and then jump the rest of the season.
It's a terrible idea.
The whole season of jumping. Terrible.
Big air commitment.
How about you guys? What stupid crap did you do with your friends?
Jeez. Trying to think.
I didn't really ski with friends till it was, you know, in my 30s. You know, because I didn't really ski much back in the day. So, yeah, they're really...
It wasn't too much stupid stuff, I think. Yeah.
No.
I think I did too much stupid stuff. Luckily, got the knock on wood. I didn't really mess myself up.
But and it's crazy, too. Back then, they really didn't, you know, no one wore helmets. No one really, you know...
I'll never forget my one friend's like, oh, yeah, your skis keep popping out. Here, just wrench them with this. Just give me the screwdriver and just freaking wrench
the tire bindings as tight as possible.
So, basically, they were, like, cemented to my legs. They're not coming off. I was like... Now I look back, I'm like, yeah, that was probably a bad idea, but...
That was pretty terrible.
Knock on wood.
Pretty dumb. Yeah. But you survived.
Oh, yeah. This is what you do. You don't sue anybody. You don't be a little baby bitch and sue everybody in the world.
It builds character.
Exactly.
Struggle builds character.
Rub some dirt in it.
Exactly. So, yeah. So that was, you know, just kind of going over our stories, what got us here, you know, what made us fall in love with this wonderful sport. And
what keeps you
going?
What keeps you going? Like, seriously.
You know what? Something about it just, I've never liked summer. I've always found it just hot and gross and annoying. And just, you know, the whole fall and, you know, hockey season starting and ski season. I fall to me is just like, it's almost like a rebirth, you know? And now, you know, I feel like I've been getting better every year still. And it's that wanting to still get better and to still want to do different things and new things and get that next level. And just... That gets me going, and then also just being able to travel more and to see more places and to, you know, see new things and taste new foods and try new liquors and try new beers. And it's just, you know, it's almost like getting a whole new, like, a different cultural experience every time you do it. Nice. And it's even now, it's funny, like, sometimes I'll just be at work or doing something, and I'm like, I don't want to do this. This sucks. And for whatever reason, I think about Outback Pizza in Killington, which I haven't had since, you know, last ski season.
Greatest pizza. It's the most luxurious pizza on earth.
It's not even really that great. I mean, we live in, like, Hoboken, New York, where there's, you know, some of the best pizza in the world.
It's great for where it is.
But there's something about it, you know? I don't know if it's the people, like, the crunchy people who are making it, like, the hippie people. But there's... Maybe it's just the... Again, it's the environment, the vibe, the people. When you're sitting there, and they have this, you know, coal oven, or wood... I think it's a wood oven. They
wood make burnt, their pizzas. Yeah.
You get that wood oven pizza, you get a fresh, you know, Vermont beer on draft, just that whole, that experience. There's just something about that that's just so perfect, you know, that's a motivation for me, at least. You know, I think about that as, you know, kind of that carrot that you dangle out and you want to get that. And to me, again, it may sound silly to most people, but that's what kind of fuels me and fires me, and I just want to get to that point, so.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very much a mental sport, I think. You know, you're constantly competing with yourself, and to notch it up, you know, when you feel like you've mastered one level, bring it up a level, because that's the only way you're going to get better, and that's the only way you're going to have more fun.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, going back to, like, you know, going to ski clubs and joining these clubs and trips, sometimes when you go on these trips, you can kind of hook up with people who are maybe better skiers than you. You might learn something different, or, you know, they may be going on a trail where if you're by yourself, you're like, I don't think I'm going to do this. But you go with a group,
push
you're like,
yourself a little, yeah.
That peer pressure, it kind of helps challenge you and get to the next level. I know a couple years ago, when it was at Mount Snow, and I was with the people, I was the worst skier of the group. And they took me on some crazy, I don't even know, out of bounds tree run. And I was scared out of my mind, but I got through it.
Yeah.
And at the end, I'm like, oh, my God, I got through this. What else can I do? You know, it's always like that. You've done this. Well, what else can you do?
It's
you
a
know,
confidence like, booster. Yeah.
Absolutely. Sure. You nailed it. Yeah. And you need that sometimes. And again, that's being with a club or a group of people you never skied with. You can find some new ways to level up, which is always cool.
Yeah. I just like being out there, like the social aspect. Like, I do it every year because I enjoy it. Like, I like just being out, getting my exercise, enjoying being out. and hanging out with people, like meeting new people, being with people that I know, and like having a good day. It's just like the whole part of it. It's from just being out there, from skiing, the après ski, the hanging out, like the stories, the stupid shit you do. It's all part of it. It's great.
It almost feels like every night you're in a ski town is Christmas Eve.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, right? There's like a little festive feel to it.
There is. There's like a very festive feel.
Especially when you usually go on the weekend. It's kind of people are just letting loose on the weekend.
It's you're drinking. It's almost like a celebration of, you know what, I survived the day. Let's talk about what we did today, you know?
I got to say, I don't hate the summer. I like, if I were going to the beach again, I would love, I love doing stuff at the beach. I don't like just sitting at the beach. So I'm like I'll play volleyball for like 6 hours at the beach. Hmm. But like sitting there, I have a hard time doing that. Other than that, you know, summer's okay. I do a lot of cycling. I find stuff to do. And I still kind of do the same thing. I do the social, you know, hang out with groups of friends and just chill out and, you know, do stuff that I like. I mean, life's too short to do stuff that you don't want to do. So it's kind of like make sure that you're doing the stuff you want to do. And once you are, it's like a sweet spot.
Amen, brother.
You know?
Well, see, I don't know. I think we've just had such a good summer this year that I just don't want it to end yet.
Oh,
I know. Blasphemy. I know.
I love the change. See, I tried living in Florida for a few months.
Yeah.
And it started getting to like November, almost Christmas. And I was just like, there's no way I need that change. I look forward to the change. I love the spring, fall. I love all four seasons. But I love the fact that it changes on a regular cycle. If it were to stay summer all year round or winter all year round, I think I'd be, well, winter I wouldn't be
as. Winter is coming.
If I was winter all year round, I think it would be okay, but I'd still get away then to the summer. Yeah. Go to the beach or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think I'm more winter focused, but I still like the change. I like four seasons.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I actually like three seasons. I can't stand spring.
No?
I hate it. I hate it.
All the bunnies come out and all the cool stuff.
You know what it is? Like, I'm not a rain person. I need the sun. I don't care how cold it is. I'd rather be cold than really hot, but I think the sun affects my mood and like just, the rain vitamin is D, so yo. Depressing. Vitamin D, plus it melts all the snow, you know?
Mud season.
The worst.
It's just awful.
Yeah.
It was five seasons.
I mean, I love fall. I love fall everything about fall.
Football starts, things, pumpkin beers come out.
Pumpkin chili beers. And you can actually
drink pumpkin properly.
Oh, you know what? Spring pumpkin beers come out too. I love that too.
Yeah.
See, this is where Brian and I, you know, differentiate. I am a 24/7 all year round pumpkin beer. He is a fall pumpkin beer only. Fall season, and then it has to go away.
Fall is the only time you should be having pumpkin anything.
You're pumping it out.
Pumpkin spice latte on 4th of July. Who the fuck are you? You ain't lunatic.
You ain't pimping unless you pumpkin.
Pimping that pumpkin.
Pimping and pumpkin, man.
Pimp that pumpkin.
Pimping and pumpkin, baby. if you ain't pimping, you ain't pumpkin.
Pimping that pumpkin. Yeah, that was funny. That one time we were up at, I forget where we were. I think it was Mount Snow. And it was February, the end of February. They're like, oh, we have Shipyard Pumpkinhead on draft. Why? That's why is this on draft now? Yeah.
If it was in bottle, maybe, but I was like, yeah, I can't.
I'm asking the bartender, I'm like, is this sitting around since like August? He's like, no, it's fresh. I'm like, no, it's not. There's no way it's fresh.
It might be freshly tapped, but that thing's been sitting around somebody's warehouse for a while.
It was in someone's trunk and they forgot about it.
Warm cold. All summer it's been in the trunk. We just broke it out now.
Delicious. But yeah, fall is awesome. And it's just right around the corner. You can just, that twinge in the air, that slight darkness, that little bit of cold at night. It's beautiful. And it's right around the corner. Football starts next week.
Little pumpkin, little bourbon, little bacon, little football.
Life is good.
Pumpkin, bourbon, bacon.
Chili. Don't forget the slow cooker chili.
Pumpkin, bacon, bourbon, chili.
Pumpkin, bacon, bourbon. So a pumpkin chunk on the these bacon are a in few the bourbon. Of
my favorite
that things. Can go together.
That's Christmas, Bri.
No, it's not.
That
it's
song.
The Sound of Music.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I just know that the Christmas version.
Oh. Austria, skiing. Von Trapp family.
Hmm.
Von Trapps?
Von Trapps. So I guess that kind of, anything else?
Do a study on the Von Trapps.
We have the Von Trapp Lodge up in Stowe.
They tell you right, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Oh, worldwide. Empire. That's the way to do it. If you're going to do a franchise.
WWW Von Trapps.
If you're going to do anything, that's the way to do it. Have a little, like a mini franchise in a bunch of dope ski towns. Like Lookout. They have Lookout.
Lookout.
Lookout. They have their their restaurants set up in all these awesome ski towns. I mean,
and you can drive slow in the driveway too.
You can if you want. So anything else you guys want to add to why you love skiing?
I just love it. Everything about it. Just the lifestyle, everything.
I love all the gear. You gotta get so much stuff together and so much stuff ready. It's like you're going.
How do you love that?
Because you're going.
So I love the change of gear. Like this year, I was all green to match my goddamn Brahmas. That I love those goddamn skis.
To me,
I love you, Blizzard.
It's almost like I'm going into battle. You know, I have to have all my gear, all my little bits.
Oh.
You know, helmet, goggles, skis, poles, camera, everything.
Fanny pack.
Camelback, fanny pack,
I don't know,
colostomy bag, water bottle, right. Everything. I love gearing up for things.
One piece.
Look at the sports I like. Everything I like is complicated. There's no sport that I like that's simple.
It doesn't just have to be sports. You like everything complicated.
This year, like we got to get the full stormtrooper gear and go skiing it.
It's not a bad idea.
Do white stormtrooper, black stormtrooper, red stormtrooper, orange. I'm orange stormtrooper.
I'll be purple stormtrooper.
Purple stormtrooper.
You know what would be awesome?
Zerple.
Having like dressing like Obi-Wan Kenobi, and having someone else dressed like Darth Vader, and have them like chase him down the mountains.
Yeah.
Have like one of your ski poles like a lightsaber.
That'd be pretty good.
That'd be awesome.
I think we're gonna have to do that. Take pictures. Post them.
We'll get our drone to film us.
Yeah.
Before, it'll be like Snowpocalypse.
Before the Hawk comes and bats that shit down.
It'll be like Apocalypse Snow, Star Wars style.
Oh, yeah. I got to find out what animal's taking out a drone this week.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
I think a lemur took one out this week.
It's got to be something exotic.
Yeah.
See, like a sea snake take out a drone or something. That'd be cool. Like jump out.
What did we watch? They were talking about snakes. Oh, Ray Donovan. They had those, I forget, were they some sort of poisonous snake? And they were actually muling heroin through the snakes.
Through the snakes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty crazy.
Crazy, right? All right. So anything else on skiing?
I think we're good.
We love it. You love it. Check it out. SkiBumPodcast.com. Let us know if there's anything else that we missed or some of the reasons why you love skiing. And we'll be happy to talk about it on a future episode.
Oh, yes. Around the horn time.
You know what that means. Around the horn.
Yeah. Let's get this thing going.
All right. First story. This is one that's near and dear to Mario's heart. Tom Brady's balls. Good to go.
Old deflated balls, old saggy deflated balls.
They're not old. They're not deflated. They are ready to go. A judge, a federal judge even, erased New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady's 4-game suspension Thursday for the Deflategate controversy that the NFL claimed threatened football's integrity.
It does.
Aw, poor integrity of football. Ridiculous. It was a ridiculous witch hunt. Everybody knows it, even Jet fans. And it was
way to go, Goodell. You should be out.
It was dumb to start with.
Goodell out. Well, they suspended a ton of good players last year, and this year for a 4-game suspension, he suspended these people like indefinitely.
Well, they originally gave Ray Rice, 2 games for knocking his fiance out cold? And then the backlash from that caused them to be like, we meant a whole season.
It's still double jeopardy. It's like you either take a stance as a league, or you don't. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's a really slippery slope too, because it's like, I mean, again, what Ray Rice did was terrible, but the fact is, she stayed with him after that. You know, it's not like she was this like abused, holed up, you know, not against her will being held woman. She's like, yeah, but I still love him. So
yeah.
So again,
I think it's a matter for the law, and honestly, in the Ray Rice thing, I just think like so the NFL stepping in, try to be above the law, but yet they're not policing all the other crap that is going on with players in the NFL. I mean, there's teams with like the entire starting lineup like with parole officers. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, and it's one of those things too. You know, with you know social media being what it is, you really can't get away with anything anymore. Nothing is a secret. Nothing is, you know, behind the scenes. Everything is in the public now, man. You know, which makes it, I mean, it's a really tough time to be in the public eye at this point because you can't get away with anything. Think about like the 70s, you know, what's going on? You know, what's Ken Stabler doing behind the scenes? We don't know.
You don't know. You have no idea.
You just don't know. What's Terry Bradshaw doing? Nobody knew.
All I know is Tom Brady is going to have his balls felt up every week for the NFL for the rest of his career now, and I just hope it's done by Jared. Boom.
You,
I said it.
You really enjoy talking about Tom Brady's balls.
They're so deflated.
You love talking about them. I think you think about them when you're going to sleep at night. Just having those warm, happy thoughts about deflated balls.
Deflated pillow-like balls.
Oh. Yeah, it's weird.
I just think, you know what? I don't like the Patriots. I like Tom Brady. I just don't think that it should get this media attention. It just kind of pisses me off that it does. So.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that this is considered important news. But, hey, the media is reporting on it. We're reporting on it. So, I guess shame on us.
Well, actually, I think it's a good sign that there's nothing really bad happening in the world, that they're focusing on that. So it's either going to be Tom Brady or shark attacks that they're going to trump up or something.
I like that attitude.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
So instead of shark attacks, you have little, deflated, saggy, older balls.
That you can't stop thinking about.
Tom Brady with your old ever. Balls. SkiBumPodcast.com.
Check it out. Boom.
Great thing to be associated
with. No balls on our website. Next up. So this is the week that Burning Man takes place.
Yeah.
Out in Nevada. So it started out, it started Monday, and then it's going into Labor Day, which is next Monday.
Day of Labor.
The Day of Labor. And it goes on out in the Black Rock Desert in Nevada. So Mario, I know you're a fan of the Burning Man.
I've always wanted to go to Burning Man, and I'm kind of psychotic that I will look up. I've looked up Burning Man for like 3 or 4 years now.
How cool would it be next year to have a podcast live at Burning Man?
I think I would fit right into Burning Man.
I think we would do very well there.
Think about it. It just seems right. I mean,
so what's it actually about? Because, you know, you always hear about it. Like, I listen to a lot of like tech stuff, and people always kind of like talk or joke about Burning Man, but I really didn't know too much about it.
You know why? First rule of Burning Man is you don't talk about Burning Man.
Oh. Sorry.
It's kind of like Fight Club. Fight Club and Burning Man, they got the same rules.
Oh, I was unaware of that.
They actually have a lot of rules that they post just to let everybody know. There's like first-timer guides. There's rules like if you want to drive around a car, you actually have to get a permit. Like there's all these things to go through. And the idea is it's not meant to be like normal life. It's supposed to be, they have 10 principles. And it goes to like a lot of community, a lot of like radical inclusion, and just like going out there, like pushing yourself. And I tell you what, it's very creative, very artistic, very kind of cutting edge to the point where you kind of would be like, yeah, this is really weird stuff. But I don't know, there's some brilliant people, there's a lot of like cool stuff going on, and I tell you what, people have a fun time.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm looking at those 10 tenets that they have: racial inclusion, gifting, decommodification, radical self-reliance, radical self-expression, communal effort, civic responsibility, leaving no trace, participation, and immediacy. So these are it sounds pretty cool. I mean, a lot of those concepts are things that we really, you know, kind of need more in our everyday society. And it's cool that people do attend this and, you know, try to pass on these beliefs to everyone in their, you know, communities, their everyday lives, because, you know, the world would be a better place with a little more of all those things.
Yeah. It's kind of like a rave camping in the desert. It's just, like, crazy.
It has,
stuff.
Like, always, like, a kind of, like, a hippie kind of connotation and vibe to it.
Yeah.
So, but that could be, people use that as kind of a turn off, or people find it to be, you know, hokey or stupid or whatever. But I think there's something really cool about this.
What's really neat is a lot of the photos you see and a lot of stuff you hear that comes out of it, there's a lot of, like cutting-edge art stuff that goes on, which is really just kind of really cool.
Yeah, it's worth Googling the pictures just to see some of the crazy things that they've built. Yeah, you know, we're looking at the praying mantis truck.
Yes. So they have, like, if you want to drive around a vehicle, it can't look like a normal vehicle. It has to look like something else. So they have these really creative, they have a praying mantis truck. We saw a fish car, like cupcake. I don't know if they were bicycles or little cars, but they were pretty cool. So it was neat. Like, they have all these rules so that they push people to, like, bring something different. It was pretty neat.
Yeah.
But it's almost like there's a festival going on in outside of Atlanta called Tomorrowworld.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. If you look at the trailer, you're like, I've got to go there. It's freaking awesome. Huh. It's like a big rave concert out in the middle of, like, you camp out there. It looks awesome, but I don't know.
And what do you think about Burning Man?
No.
You want no part of it, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Not your thing.
Yeah.
But you can respect it.
I can respect it.
Yeah.
No Burning Man? Why no Burning Man?
What if Tom Brady was there with his deflated balls in a deflatable car? Why wouldn't we work on Burning Man?
The deflated ball shuttle.
It looks like a deflate. I
don't know.
That could be a car.
It's like some sort of
deflated football.
Like a hovercraft. Car. Yeah. Like deflated ball hovercraft.
Deflated ball hovercraft.
I guess.
Tom Brady, SkiBumPodcast.com.
You don't like crowds or dirt or hippies.
You're in the desert. You can be outside of anywhere you want. That's what.
Get a free your mind, man. Live away from the hairdryer for a few days.
I'll try anything once.
Oh.
Whoa. That's for you and Brian in a private situation.
Hey-o.
Hey, we're on the radio now. We're on the interweb.
The inter.
It could be cool.
The interweb.
I think you'd be down. I think you'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
So maybe next year we should try to plan for a Ski Bum podcast at Burning Man.
That'd be fucking great.
Oh, I like it.
Burning Man to Tomorrowworld.
That's our goal. That's our 2016 goal. Get to Burning Man.
Hmm.
Sponsors, SkiBumPodcast.com. Hit us up.
Okay.
You cheap bastards.
We do is we ski Chile and Argentina and then go to Burning Man.
Bariloche to Burning Man.
Be fucking great.
I like it.
Ski and then Burning Man.
That's our goal. See, that's the key to life, people. Have goals.
And then go to work dead inside. Like, I'm just dead inside.
No, this is going to be work.
That's right.
This is work.
That's right.
Skiing and podcasting is work.
It's all work.
All right, Mario. Next one's all you. McDonald's.
McDonald's. So they got breakfast all damn day.
All damn day.
None of this rush in at 11:30 or 11 or 10:30. I don't even know what it is. I used to work at McDonald's when I was in college. I hated it. I cooked. So I was like, I was always like the cook guy, like switching stuff over.
Did you make McRib?
Yeah. Well, you don't really make McRib. You put it in the sauce and it kind of heats all day.
It's made by Jesus.
It's made by somebody in a factory somewhere, and you ship it in and you open it. And yeah. But anyway, I used to make like the breakfast. So I used to like making breakfast because you're making like real eggs. And I tell you what, McDonald's breakfast is, it's like any other breakfast. Real deal. But now they got it all day. I like that.
So
I
want to
go in. I want to get a bake. So my favorite now is a egg and cheese biscuit. I'm salivating right now. Egg and cheese biscuit. I could go out now. If it was after October, whatever, 6th, I could go out and get a egg and cheese biscuit.
So now, what does this do for the land, sea, and air burger? Does this change anything, or is this still acquirable?
It adds an egg on there.
Anytime.
Land, sea, egg, and peck burger.
The 10:35 burger will be accessible all day long.
That's right.
Do you remember, podcast fans, a few weeks ago we talked about secretmenus.com and had all these different funky kind of...
What podcast number was that?
10?
That's 10-ish.
Probably between 5 and 20, somewhere right around there.
So we got to look it up, because I tell you what, those secret menu items are fantastic.
Yeah, so if you don't remember, the Mc1035 burger is when you kind of had... Well, now, up until, you know, was it October 6th or November 6th they're doing this? They're changing the...
October 6th. So
October
it's coming
6th.
Up soon.
So what you have to do is you'd have to order this between 10:30 and 11. You would order an Egg McMuffin and a McDouble, and you would combine the two. So you had this, like, Egg McBurger muffin thing. And now, because of the change in menu, you can have this all day long, which I think is going to be probably their top... It's going to be the top four bestsellers at McDonald's. If they put that on the menu, the Mc1035,
I think it should be.
That'd be huge.
Why wouldn't you? So now, like, if I go to like a Zin Burger or something like a fancy, like one of the special things on there is like the, especially we're in Jersey, you get the tarot ham, egg and cheese on a burger.
Yeah.
Which is, if you're not from the East Coast, actually not from like Jersey, because like, even if I grew up on Long Island, you didn't hear about it out west. Whatever, pork roll, if you have it, but it's pork roll or Taylor ham, egg, and cheese is a great sandwich in the morning, but you take that, slap it on a burger. It's phenomenal.
Next level. Taylor ham.
So now they're breaking that out. Like, that's the possibility to have a Big Mac or a quarter pounder with bacon, egg, and cheese.
It's so funny. If you Google Taylor ham, one of the first 6 photos is a picture of Chris Christie with a giant, giant pork roll. It's funny. So yeah, that's gonna be pretty cool. So starting on October 6th, you can get McGriddle sandwiches all damn day. There's gonna be some sort of weird mutant McGriddle McRib combination that I am so on board for. The McRibble.
So actually, I
the
just
McRibble.
The McRibble.
Oh, drop the mic. That sounds amazing.
The McRibble.
The McRibble.
So,
who wouldn't eat that?
The McRibble.
The McRibble. Think about it. You got the waffles with the syrup built into the waffle, the McRib, and like maybe an egg and cheese.
How about the bacon, egg, and McGangbang burger?
Oh, the McGangbang. What was that again?
Episode 5, Highfalutin Ski Bums Off-Season Training. Now, that is part of off-season training. Secret menu items, because this is shit we do.
Yeah, the McGangbang. That's right. One of the most well-known secret menu items, the vulgarly named but tasty meat combo, is a huge meal, giving you a lot of bang for your buck.
Boom!
Just order a McDouble and a McChicken, both on the dollar menu, and put the McChicken between the beef patties to try it yourself.
Why watch porn when you could have a McGangbang of your own?
I don't think the two of them are comparable or equal, but you can make that happen.
It sounds pornographic. I'm just saying.
It kind of does. More meat than you need in your mouth. The McGangbang.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So breakfast all day. I want options. There's going to be new options, new menu items that can be created. So if you have any good ideas, skibumpodcast.com. Hit us up.
So, Andrew, why don't we clean this up? Why don't you take us home with the last thing? The Mount Snow thing, it's nice snow. It's pure
Mount Snow
white.
Brewer Fest. Yeah. So for all you people listening tomorrow, which is today for you, which is tomorrow for us right now, which is February the 4th. September the 4th.
It could be February.
I'm losing my mind, man. I'm freaking out.
It's that Burning Man, man.
It's the Burning Man, man. So if you are in the Mount Snow, Westover, Vermont area, and you enjoy beer, go to the Mount Snow 21st Annual Brewers Festival. So they have 2 days, Saturday and Sunday.
That's on Labor Day? That's
Labor Day weekend, yeah.
That's like in a few days.
Yeah.
What? I gotta... Damn it.
Yeah, we've done it a couple years, and it's a really good time. They have a lot of good beers. If the weather's good, it's fantastic. It's a great venue.
You could bring a toilet or two.
You can bring a toilet or two.
That's just saying.
So we've gone there a couple of years, and it's a lot of fun. And one of the cool things about it is, again, you're outside. It's that change in weather that you're getting. And most people there are probably getting psyched for boarding and skiing.
Lots of awesome video of Andrea and Colleen doing the hair twirl.
Oh, gosh, that's right.
The hair twirl.
So like the Metallica hair twirl is pretty cool.
A lot of great beers are there. My one hang-up about the Mount Snow Brewers Festival is their bullshit t-shirt contest.
Oh, we go back to the t-shirt. I gotta hear you rant now.
I entered two beautiful designs that should have won some sort of accolades, but they're showing a picture of the winners, and it's almost like you win if you have
Team Awesome.
Dumbest t-shirt with the most stuff.
It was Team Awesome.
Team Awesome.
That put you over the edge.
What a creative name.
It put me over the edge.
We don't get drunk, we get awesome. That's a winning slogan. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but it was also because of their,
socks. They had pieces of flair.
Yeah.
Yes, the pieces
of flair.
Then it's
not a t-shirt contest. That's an accessory contest.
It's a costume contest.
It's a costume contest. Yeah. It's not a t-shirt contest.
It's a flirty little costume contest.
They don't value proper t-shirt design.
I gotta say, if you want costume, the best costume I saw were the dudes that had the paper bag, suits.
That was pretty cool.
It was pretty dope the way they made them. They had ties, everything. and it was made out of paper bag. And it was it was pretty freaking awesome. I was wow.
Yeah, they made your supermarket grocery bag. Yeah, they
cut it out. It was not a t-shirt, but it was pretty cool.
That was nice.
I think you overthought it though, Brian.
Yeah, the problem is I was going for classy, sophisticated, intelligent, well thought out design.
The other problem that we're not discussing is that you lifted the Yankees artwork for a New England state who was judging
the first year. That was the first year design that I did. And that design was awesome, number one.
It was awesome.
And I got so many people who said, oh, dude, that shirt is awesome. Where can I buy them?
Really?
So many people said that.
Yeah, it was a pretty good shirt.
That was awesome.
I've worn it before, and people are like, "Oh, that's pretty
cool."
That
was the Yankee. I still have it.
Well, that was the Yankee one. That was 2010. Yeah. The one we did for 2012, which was the Olympic year. That was the London Olympics. That one, I made almost like the bibs that the runners and the track and field athletes would do. Mm-hmm. It was that, and it had the same typography, the same layout as that bib did, but it also had a medal around it. So like it's. Trying to describe it the way it was set up. So it's almost like there was the ribbon around the bib, and the gold medal was I took the synchronized swimming logo and had it, like the person's arm as like there's like a bottle there in their hand, so like they're drinking something.
You should post it on the website.
I've posted it before, and I will post it again, and you people will see that lost to retards in green shirts saying we don't get drunk, we get awesome.
I think you should post them side by side. Let people vote. I want the people to vote.
Well, you know what? The internet is full of assholes, and they're going to be like, haha, dick, I'm going to vote against you. So
I want to see the comments, though.
I don't read comments. I don't want to see the voting. I know in my heart.
I don't get drunk. I get awesome.
Yeah. That is not an award-winning slogan.
Actually, I looked at the people wearing them, and, they just did not look like they kept their persona very awesome.
The Mount Snow Brew Crew. Ooh, creative.
Ugh. Wow, looks, there's a little bit of bitterness there.
Looks good with your cankles.
I think
he spent so much time on those designs.
I think somebody's a little bit. He wants to go back there.
Yeah. Goddamn artist.
All right, so now we're in Brewers Festivals. We got beer festivals coming up. There's a New York City beer festival that's coming up, Lexington Armory. We're talking to those folks because we want to get a behind-the-scenes backroom kind of view because there's a lot of beers there, and I tell you, that one's pretty cool. That's in October, I believe. Killington. We were in touch with the people at Killington. Killington has October 2nd and 3rd. They have their
Oktoberfest, right?
No, it's a beer festival, and then the weekend after, they have an Oktoberfest. So that would be cool
back
to go to.
Back.
Back to back. So I know because the beer festival is like, oh, the Brewers Festival, I can't go to because I have a race the 4th. And then the next weekend, I'm like, I'm done.
Way to prioritize.
I am done with my cycling. So the next weekend is Oktoberfest. You should bring on my Oktoberfest hat and just go on out there.
Go to town.
Go to town.
Do it.
I like it.
I'm actually missing an Oktoberfest on the 3rd, which I'm pretty upset about. But
terrible.
Taking one for the team.
Absolutely terrible. But you know what? That's why we're all getting excited. Fall is a wonderful time, and it's all just build up.
And we're hitting wine time. We're hitting, we hit September, October. You hit the wine crush time. That's when everybody crushes the wine, crushes the grapes. And actually, it's a big wine time. A lot of wine festivals, beer festivals. So it's going to be like...
How can you not love fall?
It's all fall.
Just dead inside.
And then you got apple picking and cider and apple donuts and beer with pumpkin in it. Oh, it's great.
Mm.
That's right. It's the time.
It is the time.
We are getting excited. So we got a lot of things on tap. So we're trying to, like Mario said, get some Breeders going.
Cup.
Beer festival.
American Pharoah is going to run Breeders' Cup in, it's on Halloween.
And if he loses, they'll have some sort of, chili made with American Pharoah, which they can charge $1,000 a cup for.
They're going to make $1 billion.
They're going to make $1 billion on that guy.
That horse is going to just be studying the rest of his life.
So yeah, a lot of awesome stuff in the fall. Stay tuned. We got plenty of stuff coming up, so we will not disappoint. So please check us out, skibumpodcast.com. Send us an email, skibumpodcast@gmail.com, Facebook, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, or Twitter, @skibumpodcast. So Andrea, thank you so much.
Thank you
for joining us.
Yeah.
Love having the
good job.
A beautiful lady on the podcast.
Making me blush.
Yeah. You can't see what she is.
See, she's bringing up the level of beauty for this whole podcast, which is good.
And the level of sophistication.
That's true.
True that.
So, we will see you guys next week. Thanks so much for listening. Take care.
Stay high, stay fluted.
Peace.